That was a movie by Pixar that was made a little over a year ago, I think, called Inside Out. It's an interesting movie, actually, because it's not just entertaining, but it's also incredibly enlightening. Because when you talk to psychiatrists and psychologists, one of the things that they will tell you is that this movie is so indicative about how we actually make choices, that we have all these options inside our brain when we are encountering experiences and stimuli and different experiences, that we got to go inside our head and we have different responses that come out. So parents, if you want some great insight into what makes your kids make some of the decisions that they make, take them to see this movie, or rent it actually, because it's already in rental. They get to watch it for the fun factor. You get to watch it for the enlightening factor. Well, hey, I am so glad that you are here this morning because we're going to talk about choices. Again, my name is George. I'm the pastor here, and I want to bring you up to speed a little bit. Last week, I shared with you that my wife was hospitalized the week before. She had supraventricular tachycardia. I can't believe I said that without messing it up. And basically, what that means is that her heart is beating and misfiring. And so this last week, I shared with you that she was going to be having a surgical procedure on Thursday. Well, we got there, and she got gowned up. It was all ready. The nurse had come in and tried to start the IV, and they couldn't get the IV started, so they had to call in another person who's better at starting those micro kind of IVs, like micro IVs with, like my wife has these really tiny veins, and he was just about to stick her, and somebody walked in and said, "Stop. We can't do it today." Now, we had gotten up at 4 o'clock in the morning, because we had to be there at 6 for the procedure that was supposed to start at 8, and it got stopped. Well, there's lots of things that go into that, but basically she had some levels that weren't quite right, so we had to be postponed. So this coming Thursday, which is the fastest that they could get us in there, she will actually have surgery. It's called an ablation, where they go in with these electrical wires, and they try to figure out where her heart is misfiring, and they will cauterize those places to just stop it. So the reality is this is about a 2-hour procedure, but it could take up to 6 hours depending on how many places they find in her heart that they have to cauterize to stop it from sending these false, like, extra beats. Because that when that happens, it makes your heart race. When your heart races, it's not good for your heart, it's not good for your body, and it can be a real mess. So anyway, so she gets to have that. And I've had lots of people say, "Were you mad?" Actually, disappointed. So what'd you do about it? Well, there's nothing I really could do about it, right? So I have to make the best of the situation. My wife has to make the best of the situation. Yes, we wanted it done like yesterday so that she could be up and moving around and do everything that she wanted to do. But just so happens, the doctor says, okay, so that means no physical exertion, limit your going up and down the stairs. You need to, like, not be around people because we don't want you to get sick because there's all these viruses going around. And so she's pretty much been, like, confined to the couch. You can get up and move around and things, but too much physical exertion, and she's talking like this because her heart is racing and it's not good, so she has to kind of stay down. But we have to decide, what are we going to do about that? You have to decide every day what is going to be your response to the different situations and experiences that come your way. You could be happy, you could be sad, you could be mad, you could be disappointed, you could give up. There's just lots of different options. And this week I was like just sitting in my living room, kind of looking around and just having some downtime. And I looked up at a picture that we have on our wall that just says this: "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And for us, this is more than a picture; it's a way of life. That we have chosen to serve the Lord. We have chosen to make faith the number one priority in our lives. And so this morning, I want to talk with you about that a little bit. Because I want to push a little bit. I want to, like, raise your anxiety maybe a little bit. I want to call you to action. Because the reality is, in all of our lives, when it comes to a relationship with God, we have to make a choice. Now, when we get started here, a couple of thoughts that I want to share with you just at the beginning. When we think about this faith aspect, here's a tagline I want to make sure that we all understand, is that if the foundation of our faith is a feeling, the realities of life will crush it. If the foundation of our faith is a feeling, the realities of life will crush it. Because you see, faith is not a feeling. Faith is not a feeling. Because what's the issue with feelings? They come and go, right? We can be one way one time and another way another time. When the realities of life, the experiences confront us and we got to make choices, we got to figure out what we're going to do. And if we base all of our choices just on how they feel, then we're going to get crushed. Because faith is more than a feeling. Faith, what we're going to talk about today, no matter how old you are, faith is a choice. Faith is a choice. Jeremiah 29 says that God says, if you seek me, you will find me. He says, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. So what does that imply? A choice. We have to make a choice for faith. And so what I want to do this morning is what I want to help you to understand, how do we make this choice and how do we stick to this choice when the realities of life come crushing in? When you have supraventricular tachycardia, when your employer comes in and says, we don't have enough work. When your boyfriend or girlfriend says, I want to date other people. When a disease is diagnosed. When your parents begin to age. And we got to figure out, what are we going to do? Our faith is the same. We have to make a decision about faith. Because as we're going to see, by the time we get to the end of this message, this is of critical importance. Because the choice you make for your faith determines the trajectory of your eternity. Your choice, not the choice anyone makes for you, your choice when it comes to faith affects the trajectory of your eternity. And I think way too many of us either rely on osmosis, thinking, hey, we're just going to be around it so we get it. Or we live in this place thinking, well, you know, I'm not really that bad of a person. I'm pretty good. I'm nothing compared to, and we could all fill in the blank, right, with somebody who's much worse than we are. But none of that makes a difference. Because what we're going to see and what we understand about our faith is that faith is a choice that we make. It is the most important decision that every single one of us will make. Let me say that again. It is the most important decision that we will ever make. And it's not just a one time. It's a continual thing that we make over and over and over again. And so what I want to talk with you again about this morning is choice. Because here's the question that gets posed. When the realities of what was happening to my wife occurred, when I got the call at 8:45 and she's like, I can't breathe. I need to go to the hospital. And we go rushing to the hospital and we're in that emergency room. And the doctor looks at my wife and says, okay, here's what's going to happen. We're going to give you some medicine to stop your heart and then we got to shock you. Here's the question. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? My wife had no pre-existing conditions. There was nothing that indicated that she was going to have any potential problem. It happened when she was putting her pajamas on to get our kids ready for bed. So for you, how do you know what tomorrow, how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Here's what Joshua 24:15 says. Choose today whom you will serve. Choose today. Whom you will serve. But he says, but it's for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Now, I don't have a lot of time to go into all the history of Joshua, but Joshua has a whole book of the Bible that was written about him. He is one of the most amazing heroes of the faith. He and another guy, Caleb, were lifted up. Like they are two of the most important people in the Old Testament. Joshua was the one who was the successor to Moses, who led the people into the promised land. Joshua was an amazing hero of our faith. Now, in case that comes up in the Bible Bowl, you will know the answer to that question. But here's what I want you to understand. Just like Joshua said, as for me and my house, my family, we will serve the Lord. You need to make that same choice. We believe that every single person reaches an age of accountability. We believe it's somewhere around 6th, 7th, 8th grade, somewhere around there. But all of us reach an age of accountability where we got to make a choice. Are we going to believe? Are we going to become followers of Jesus Christ? Or are we going to do something different? The reality is we don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. So as Joshua says, choose today whom you will serve. Choose today whom you will serve, because we don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. Now, how do you do that? How do you choose today? How do you choose Jesus? Well, I want to point out several things that I think that you could do, that we could do, that would help fuel our faith, that would help us to make this decision that every single one of us has to make, this decision of eternal consequences. The first is that we have to fix our eyes on Jesus. See, I believe that Jesus is the answer to everything that is wrong with our world. The Bible tells us that we have life in Jesus and we have death apart from him. We're told in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, that we should let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. How do we make a faith choice? We do that first by fixing our eyes on Jesus. We discover who he is. We've put our lives in alignment with him. We fix our eyes on him and we move in that direction and resist everything else that's going to try to get our attention otherwise. Because we either believe in Jesus or we don't. We either believe what he says is true or we don't. There is no middle way. We have to fix our eyes on Jesus, and that will help us to make a decision, make a choice for faith. The second thing I think that we do is that we feed our mind on God's word. One of the beautiful things I love about our Kids Point program, about our Point program, about our discipleship programs that we have in the church, everything we do here is grounded in and finds its foundation in Scripture. This is not the gospel according to George. It is not the gospel according to Wendy Moody. It is not the gospel according to Mark and Susan McKay. It's not the gospel according to any of our Bible teachers. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is God's word that is our authority, that is our standard. And the only way we're going to know who God is and who we are is by studying and feeding our mind with God's word. See, because we're going to fill our minds with something. You can either fill your minds with garbage and junk, or you can feed your minds on God's word. Why God's word? Look what Romans 12:2 says. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Our author invites us to feed on God's word that will transform the way we think. See, because how we think determines how we feel, that determines how we act. Our actions are always directly related to what we think first and foremost. Or we see these words from 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, when we feed our mind on God's word, we are equipped to do everything that God wants us to do. We are having our brains transformed and radically formed in a different way. We've got to feed our minds with something. And if we're not intentional about feeding our minds with God's word, then our minds are going to be fed with something. So it's time for us to make a choice. And so I want to ask you, have you been feeding your mind with God's word? Do you have a time or a place or an opportunity where you are regularly in God's word, reading it? We have so many tools at our disposal today. Bible Gateway, YouVersion. We have electronic Bibles. We have hard copy, like old school version. You know, we have so many tools at our disposal to discover who God is. And we have so many translations that help us to read it and to understand it. The one that we use around here is called the New Living Translation. It's a really great translation that helps put God's word into words that we can understand. But here's my contention. If you don't read God's word, you will not have your mind shaped by the reality of God. If you do not read it, your mind will not be shaped by the reality of God. It will be shaped by something else. And that something else is not going to direct you towards God. So we've got to feed our minds on God's word. We got to fix our eyes on Jesus. Number three, we have to fight against distractions, detours, and disappointments. We've got to fight against distractions, detours, and disappointments. I love this verse from Joshua 1:9. We see these words over and over in Scripture, actually, several times in the book of Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. See, as a people, when we decide to fix our eyes on Jesus, when we feed on God's word, we also have to realize that we got to fight against the things, the detours, the distractions, the disappointments that are going to get in our way. And I will tell you, the devil's going to throw everything he can at us. Do you know some of the things that the devil throws at us? Things that get us away from church on Sunday mornings. It's not like it was when I was a kid. When I was a kid, man, you went to church every Sunday. It was just a priority. There was nothing to compete with it. Actually, most of the stores weren't even open on Sundays. And I'm not that old. But we didn't have the kind of distractions. We have all kinds of distractions today that get you out of worship. And see, the problem is when you miss one, it's easy to miss the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one. And next thing you know, it's been 5 years since you darkened the doors of a church, let alone being into God's word, feeding on Scripture. See, we gotta fight against those things that are gonna distract us, that pull us away. And here's the problem. A lot of the things that do that look really good, right? Look really amazing. And you know what they are? I don't even have to call them out. They're things that we participate in, things that we purchase. We have so many things that can distract us from making worship a priority. And we gotta fight against that. In my house where we have decided that we are going to serve the Lord, man, if you got to come in your jammy pants, you're coming to church. My wife is like, she's laying on the couch. She's like, she wants to be here so bad because she knows she needs this. She's going to listen to it online and then she'll tell me how amazing I did. Generally, she'll be like, why'd you say that? Like, it just comes out sometimes. But, you know, and so we've got to be a people. We got to fight against the distractions. The Bible tells us that the devil disguises himself as an angel of light. That angel of light can be vacation houses. That angel of light can be traveling teams. That angel of light can be so many things. Again, not bad things. But how are you fixing your eyes and feeding your soul and fighting against them? Yesterday, my daughter, she participated in the Floyd County, the elementary schools have like, they did a cheer and dance team, and it's really cool because Floyd's Knobs Elementary, woohoo, won first place, yay. And way to go, Kate. And so the championship basketball game for the fourth grade boys and girls, do you know when it is? Next Sunday. And I looked at our coach and I said, so what time's that game? And she's like, well, it'll be before Super Bowl. And I'm like, but it'll be after church, right? And she's like, oh, yeah. I'm like, because it has to be in our house. It has to be for her to be a part of it. Now, I'm not saying that if you miss a Sunday here, miss a Sunday there, it's a bad thing. Because I'm not the attendance police. But what I do know is that the more lightly we take our commitment to God, the more easily we'll be distracted away from it. You believe that? It's true. So we got to fight against those distractions. We also, for the sake of others, we have to find our voice. You got to find your voice. We are told in 2 Timothy, never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. See, our faith gets filled as we tell others about it. Our faith gets filled and fueled the more we tell others about it. There's just, when we begin to talk about it, when we begin to let what's inside come outside, the inside takes deeper root. It's an amazing thing that happens. And so we've got to find a way to share our voice with those around us. Because again, I'm going to come back to that question. What does your tomorrow hold? See, here's what we believe. If we are followers of Jesus Christ, if you know and love Jesus with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, then your eternity is fantastic. If you don't, your eternity is not good. But it's your choice. And some people think, man, I'll do that someday. The reality is, we don't know what tomorrow holds. None of us know what tomorrow holds. And we could go through example after example after example after example of that, right? So if we want to figure out how to make this choice and stick to this choice, we've got to fix our eyes on Jesus. We've got to feed our minds on God's word. We've got to fight against distractions, detours, and disappointments. We've got to find our voice so that we can talk about it. Now, next one, this is for you parents. Parents, this is, or if you are a teacher, or if you are involved with kids, this really is a big one for you. You have to fuel the faith of your family. You have to fuel, thank you, Debbie. You have to fuel the faith of your family. You've got to make faith a priority. You've got to make faith a discussion. You got to weave faith throughout the things that you do in your family. It can be simple things like when we go to school in the morning, I drop my girls off at school. We pray on the way to school. We're like, okay, girls, who's going to pray first? And we just pray. We pray for our day. We pray for our friends. We pray for our teachers. We pray there'll be a good day. We pray before we eat. We pray before we go to sleep. We try to do everything we can to fuel the faith of our family. Because here's the deal, parents. Listen, here's the deal. The faith of your kids is often, not always, but often very similar to yours. The faith of your kids is going to be very similar to yours. If it's not important to you, it is not going to be important to them. If it is a priority for you, but not in some legalistic, messed up sort of way, then you got a better chance of it being a priority for them. We spend so many resources in our church of forging and forming faith in our little ones. There are like 35 kids down here. Or in the faith of our young people. Or in you through discipleship opportunities. We want to fuel that faith so that it will grow deeper and stronger. So that when the experiences of life come like crashing in, you're going to know how to deal with it. Do you know, throughout this whole experience with my wife, do you know, I've had this amazing peace. And lots of you have asked me, right? You said, like, how you doing, George? I'm like, you know what? Like, I just have this peace. I know that people literally all over the world are praying for her. I know that my wife loves Jesus. And I love Jesus. And we are trusting him with all that we have. Doesn't mean it's always going to turn out the way we want. But you know what? Our faith is not based on a feeling. Our faith is based on a choice. We are told that every generation needs to tell its children of the mighty acts of God and proclaim them with power. Parents, that's our job. That is our number one responsibility, to teach our kids about Jesus. So I want to come back to the question that I asked right at the beginning this morning. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Just in case you have no doubt, it's this: you don't. You have no idea what your tomorrow holds. But we are called, we are encouraged to answer the question in the way that Joshua does, that when he says, choose today whom you will serve, he says, we will serve the Lord. See, because now I want to give you the bad news. The bad news is that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a biblical way of saying that if you do not choose Jesus, death. If you choose Jesus, life. It's time to make a choice. So do you stand with Joshua and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord by fixing your eyes on Jesus, by fueling and feeding your faith on God's word, by fighting against distractions and detours and disappointments, by finding your voice so you can tell others about the mighty acts of God in Jesus, and by fueling the faith of your family. How you respond will affect the trajectory of your eternity. If you've never decided on Jesus, my guess is that you're here today because you need to. My guess is that God has somehow wired it, somehow worked things so that you're here today because he wants you to hear what we said about making a choice. Because some of you, I know, in this room have never made a choice for Jesus. But the time is today. We have this great picture from the cross. When Jesus is being crucified and he's hanging on the cross, he's there in the middle, kind of like that one right there. He's got one guy on his right and one guy on his left. One of the guys professes him as Messiah, as Lord. And you know what Jesus said to him? Today, you will be with me. The other guy didn't make that choice. You're here today. You still have a choice. You don't know what tomorrow holds. When we were in that emergency room, and they were getting ready to stop my wife's heart and shock her. And we went through days of cardiac echogram and cardiac cath, and she's got to do this procedure on Thursday. Do you know what? I am not afraid, because we believe in Jesus. What about you? Let's pray. God, I firmly believe that there are some people in this room this morning who have never made a decision for you, and I believe that the time is now. It's today. It's right here. Our church is filled with people. We have lots of folks, God, here who we've not seen before. And God, I believe in your sovereignty and just how you work things, that they're not here by accident. That they're here today because you are so crazy about them, that you are so in love with them, that you have somehow worked it out using their free will to get them here today, because you want them to make a decision for you. Your word tells us that you so love the world that you gave your one and only son so that whoever believes in you will have eternal life. So God, I want to pray for the folks here this morning who maybe don't know you. And I want to pray, God, that they might respond with a three-letter word of yes. That you have issued this amazing divine invitation. You say, come, follow me. And you want them to say yes. And God, I know that for a lot of us, I remember what it was like for me. It was like, I don't know what the next day is going to hold, let alone the next few hours. But that's why we call it faith. That you ask us to take a step to walk with you, and that we will not be disappointed. And so, God, for the people here today who maybe it's time, Lord, I pray that they would just simply say yes to you. Lord, for the ones who maybe still have questions, God, I pray that your spirit would work in such a way that would just fuel this hunger inside them to fill that place with the reality of you, that they might come to know you. They wouldn't wait. They would actively engage themselves in a place where they might discover who you are. Lord, maybe for some of us this morning, maybe we've allowed our faith to kind of get a little dull. And we haven't been actively engaged in it. We've just been kind of sitting back. But Lord, we know that there's a sense of urgency, because we don't know not just what our tomorrow holds, but the people around us, what that holds. And so, God, I want to pray that maybe you would just kind of light the fire in us, that you would stoke the fuel of our faith. See, the good news is that God loves us right where we are, but he loves us way too much to leave us there. And I believe God's calling us to respond to him. And so here's what we want to do. Our band's going to lead us in a little song, and I'm just going to give you some time to think about the things that we've been talking about this morning. And if you're ready to make a decision, if you want to talk, if you want me to pray with you, I'm going to be right up here. If you just want to pray right in your seat, you know, the amazing thing with God is, like, you're probably not going to see fireworks and bells aren't going to go off, because faith is not a feeling, it's a choice. But maybe it's that time for you today. And so all you gotta do is say, yes, Lord, I wanna follow you. Or if you have questions, maybe just spend some time thinking about those questions. But we just wanna give you a few minutes to reflect on making a choice today. Hey, let's pray real quick. God, thank you for the ways that you move in our lives and in our hearts. Draw us close to you, we pray, oh God, so that we might draw others as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.